British and EU negotiators are continuing talks in London today on a post-Brexit trade deal, with just weeks to go before the UK formally leaves the Union on the 1st of January. Minister of Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney, who's in Paris today to meet his French counterpart, says there are now only days left to reach a deal. He's been telling us why.
Well, we're certainly at the very end of this negotiation, and if we can't find a way of getting a deal done on a future relationship and on a trade deal, then I think the focus will shift very soon to preparing for no deal. And that is not where we want to be. But if it's not possible to get an agreement that both sides can sign up to, well, then that's where we're going to find ourselves. I mean, we're in the month of December now. Mm-hmm. At the end of this year, the transition period ends legally. There is no mechanism to extend that period. So on the 1st of January, there is fundamental change happening, whether we like it or not. The UK will be outside of the EU customs union and single market. And from a trading perspective, that has very significant consequences. And we've been preparing for that for many, many months now, in fact, for years.
Yeah.
But of course, there is an opportunity to limit the disruption of that change by putting in place a future relationship agreement that involves a trade deal that avoids tariffs and quotas, and also puts agreements in place in so many other areas, from aviation to road haulage, yeah, to data and data security, to banking and services, and all these other areas where, without an agreement on a future relationship, there will be huge disruption and cost.
Well, that's a deal. Those are deals, and certainly a trade deal would need to be ratified by the European Parliament. If there isn't a deal in the next number of days, perhaps this weekend, would there be time for the European Parliament to give proper scrutiny to any agreement?
Well, I mean, I think that's why we're starting to see real impatience at this stage, coming from many different sources, because we know that it takes weeks. Normally, it would take months to ratify an agreement like this, and in fact, in the case of the Canada deal, it's taken years, the Canada trade deal with the EU. So, I think the European Parliament will be frustrated by this, but having said that, the consequences of not having a deal really do focus the mind here, and I believe we can find a way to get the ratification
and
done
is it possible
over a few weeks if we can get a deal done, but not if that deal isn't done, and we really are talking about days at this stage, not weeks.
I mean, is it possible that the deal could be finalised, agreed, and then ratified at a later stage, come into force, if you like, from the 1st of January, and at a later point be ratified by the European Parliament and go through that formality? Because that's been floated as one possible solution.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've heard that, and provisional ratification, I suppose, is possible, but certainly I don't think that is something that the EU will encourage, and I think there may be countries that would have a big problem with that. But, I mean, it's nothing is impossible, but I think the all of the effort now and focus is trying to close out this negotiation in the next few days, so that we can then focus on ratification. But really, it's about getting the deal done politically. There are two big issues, Brian. They've been talked about all week. In fact, we've been talking about them since midsummer. One is the EU's insistence that there is a level playing field for doing business. In other words, fair competition between the EU and the UK, so that the UK effectively doesn't try to derive competitive advantage for itself by, you know, applying, you know, state aid that the EU doesn't allow to its own economy, and therefore derive competitive advantage to sell into the EU single market without tariffs.
Has there been progress on that?
There's been some progress on that, but it's very slow, because it's not just about agreeing the principles around fair competition. It's also about agreeing a governance model that can deal with dispute resolution in the future if one side potentially breaches that agreement, and what the consequence of that will be, and agreeing a robust and tough independent mechanism that can be a strong deterrent to both sides from breaching that agreement.
And what then about...
So that governance model, my understanding is that is a very difficult thing to design and agree on both sides. And then the second issue, of course, is fishing, which is highly political, very emotive. On the British side, they very much associate the debates on fishing with an expression of sovereignty and taking back control.
And they've put forward, they've tabled this proposal that the UK would negotiate with the EU every year, year by year, EU fishing access to British waters. Irish boats would be depending from year to year to find out what that access would be. Is that something that would be at all acceptable to this country?
No, I mean, we're looking for much more certainty than that on both access and quota share. And, you know, the EU argument has been very clear on this. The UK, and this is why, by the way, fishing is not being dealt with in isolation. It's part of a broader package of agreement. The UK are looking for EU facilitation to access the EU's energy markets from an aviation perspective, from a road haulage perspective, from a financial services perspective, from a goods perspective in terms of being, you know, tariff-free. And the EU is saying, well, look, we can facilitate a lot, if not all of that, but we also need to be facilitated in terms of our fishing interests, in terms of access to UK waters.
Also,
and that is
also
not an unreasonable position.
But you'll also be aware, Minister, that there are deep fears in the fishing industry here that it'll be sold out at the end of the day in order to get a deal over the line.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason why there isn't a deal today, in my view, is because the EU is not taking that approach. And certainly Ireland is not taking that approach. I'm a former fisheries minister. I have spent hours talking to Michelle Barnier about fishing and ensuring that we try to protect Irish fishing interests and EU fishing interests here. And that is what we're trying to do.
Just finally, if I might, Minister, our Europe Editor Tony Connolly is reporting today that Irish food exports using the UK land bridge won't, as planned or as intended, be exempt from checks and controls at the French port of Calais, because the French, apparently, he says, have pressed ahead with an electronic checking system that can't distinguish between UK, British produce and Irish produce, Irish trucks. Now, is that going to be a problem come the 1st of January?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that it is a problem, but it's a problem with the system as opposed to a lack of willingness to be helpful from an Irish perspective in France. So we have a political agreement with the French government that they would effectively green lane Irish trucks coming off ferries that have come from the UK. The problem is that my understanding of this is that the French electronic system can't cope with that distinction at the moment. And so we're working, obviously, politically with the French to try to correct that.
Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney.